possible explanations. And the only other possible explanation that I can come up with is that there's something in the system that plays out differently for men and women. There are structures that affect men one way and women another way. For example, we have careers in science that are built on almost constant evaluation. We're evaluated when we're admitted as students. We're evaluated when we're hired. We're evaluated when we submit articles for publication. We're evaluated when we apply for grants. These are core activities of really daily life of researchers, this constant evaluation, constant peer evaluation. Yet, we know from research that we evaluate men and women differently. We know that from studying actual processes, and we know that from simulations. For example, last summer, the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences published a study in which they simulated a hiring process for a job that required strong skills in mathematics. And there were a number of different scenarios, but the first scenario was that an employer had to make a choice between two applicants. And sometimes, in the cases where there was one man and one woman, they had no more information. They had no information about the performance, no information about their motivation, nothing. They looked at them and they made a choice. Should end up with 50-50, but instead you end up with about 70-30 preference for men. We just don't believe that men and women have the same kind of skills in mathematics. That skewing is done both by men and by women. There's no difference there. When those candidates were allowed to say a little bit about their performance, they were allowed to try to convince the employer to hire them, and then their skills were subsequently tested. The men, this is going to come as a big surprise to you, tended to overestimate their skills. The women tended to underestimate their skills. We need to take account of that when we evaluate men and women based on their own self-evaluations. When evaluations are performed on employees, men and women get different kinds of feedback. In a recent study in the tech industry, several thousand actual performance evaluations were studied. Men and women alike are given various kinds of critiques of their performance, encouragement to improve, etc. But one kind of feedback was particularly gender skewed, and that was feedback about personal properties of the individual employees. Things like, you tend to speak too loudly, or your colleagues sometimes say that they find you to be abrasive. In this study that was published from the tech industry, about 2% of men received feedback of that type on personal characteristics. When it came to the women, a little over 70% did. So men and women are both given critique of the job that they perform, but women are, in addition, told to pipe down. That's what research shows us. We evaluate each other constantly. In academia, that's often done anonymously. We're not capable of freeing ourselves of our stereotypes and our biases, at least not without help. There's a serious and substantial literature on this issue. We can't get away from it. We need interventions to get closer to not including sex in our evaluations. If we're not good at judging quality, and if women leave in greater numbers than men, and if we do promotions in a way that is gender skewed, we are inevitably sacrificing quality. Women as a group are not leaving chemistry in greater numbers than men because they just can't figure out how the periodic table is organized. They're leaving because they look at the career, they see what it looks like, and it does not appeal to them. It's not because of quality or the lack of quality that they're leaving. And if it's true that quality and performance at the PhD level is equally distributed across men and women, what this means is that at every stage of the career, progression. The group that remains is of a lower quality than the group at the previous stage. We're actually screening for non-quality when these two groups leave us in different numbers if quality is distributed equally across them. This is a profound crisis for leadership at universities. It is a profound failure to deliver on our promise to society. We are not doing what we need to do to be efficient and effective at discovery, at innovation, at making life better.